The theme I'm taking from the first verse that we've sung is, oh, who am I? And more than who am I, what am I? What are we like? There's a lovely way of saying it up in Lancashire. E, what are you like? If you know Lancashire, you'll probably have heard it. What are you like? God knows you from before you were born. Now that's worth a moment's thought. God has known us, each of us, from before we were born. With the wonder of ultrasound and those blurry images which are so cherished when someone's pregnant, God can see in much better detail than that, and he loves and cherishes us from before we are born and through our lives. But what are we like? Well, are you the quiet sort? Do you prefer to keep your thoughts to yourself? There are many scripture verses to commend that. On the other hand, there are the prophets. They tend not to be the quiet sort. They tend to do demonstrative things and go and tell it like it is. Are you like that? Are you a more outward type of person? Do you say what you think? Neither is better or worse. They're just different. And neither of us is totally outward or totally inward. We're a mixture. Which is stronger in you? Which are you more like? Are you more outgoing or more inward? The other part of that, though, is what effect does that have on other people? If we keep too much to ourselves, everybody else might be wondering where we are, what we think, and trying to second guess us. If we say too much, people might shy away. We might accidentally hurt people's feelings, but you can hurt them the other way as well. You can hurt people's feelings by not saying what needs to be said. Neither is essentially better or worse, but there are goods and less goods. What effect does it have on other people? And then, how do you see yourself in your views and your approach to life? Which of these would be your primary way of seeing yourself? Would it be practical? Are you a practical sort? Give me some materials and I'll make something. Is that you? Give me a situation and I'll fix it. Are you perhaps more intellectual? Are you logical and orderly? Do you like to work things out? And are you good with schemes and grids and that sort of thing? I'm not. Or do you see yourself more as humanitarian? Is it how well people are, how they feel, people's feelings? Does that come first to mind? Or are you more creative? Again, none of us is exclusively any of these things, but we are stronger or more prominent in some than others. We are all different. None of them is essentially better or less good than any of the others. We might be quiet, we might be louder. We might be practical, we might be more intellectual. We might put feelings first, we might be creative and challenging. Again, though, all of those can have an effect on other people. And how do others see you? What do you think they think of you? Very often it takes someone else to point out our strengths and our weaknesses. It can be very helpful for someone to point out that we're on the right track or the wrong track. that we have a gift that hasn't been recognised, or that we've been using a gift and it needs appreciating. Do you appreciate others' gifts? What else could be said about your nature? Are you sociable or solitary? Again, none of us is totally one or totally the other, but some like to be in the middle of the crowd and some would rather stand back and see how it goes. Are you quick and sharp and straight to it? Or do you prefer to think it through and give a more considered response? Sometimes a more considered response is what's needed. Sometimes a quick response is needed. And as a person, do you think of yourself as more robust or delicate? Some of us are easily crushed and broken. All of us are easily crushed and broken in some ways and robust in others. Do we think it through with other people? All of these characteristics can be strengths or weaknesses. We can use them hoping to serve or to manipulate others. We might even try to use them to serve or manipulate God. Let us take a moment in silence to consider what sort of a person we are, how we and others truly are, and to remember that God loves each of us as his children. I wouldn't want to encourage navel gazing, but I think it's very important that we do sometimes consider ourselves and how others see us and how God sees us. There is a wonderful tradition of entering imaginatively into a story. So I'm going to try and lead you in a little of that. I want you to imagine some of those squarish, possibly whitewashed houses and a dusty road through that would have been Jericho in ancient times. I'd also like you to imagine that people are wearing sandals and robes, some more colourful than others, all natural colours, not the wonderful synthetic dyes that we have today. So muted colours. And it's hot. It's hot, the sun is beating down, and if you're a sun worshipper, I'm sorry, but this is too much. It's a lot of hot sun, and everyone's a bit sweaty and jostling. Jesus is coming, and we're trying to see him. Now, there's one character there that we all know, and we part fear him, and we part despise him. He's a little fella. Now, let's not be heightist, but this little fella makes up for it by wearing the tackiest, gaudiest stuff to show how rich he is. But we all know that that tacky, gaudy stuff he's wearing to make him look better or bigger is ill-gotten gain. We move together and shut him out. He's not going to see Jesus. We've heard of Jesus. We want to see Jesus. Jesus isn't for people like him. Sneaky, proud little Zacchaeus. But something's got into Zacchaeus. In a very undignified way, he scrambles up into a tree. Lots of people snigger at him, but they don't want to be seen to snigger at him because he has influence. And as I said, we despise and fear him. Jesus will ignore him. We can take that for granted because he's a sneak cheat and he's a nasty piece of work. In comes Jesus, What a look on his face! Everyone feels better for seeing him. People are jumping up and down, hugging him, children running out. What is it about him that's so attractive? He's looking at everybody, and his eyes catch your eyes. Oh, you feel wonderful, because he smiled at you. He didn't judge. And then he stops, and he looks up in the tree. And everyone's thinking, what are you looking at him for? I'm thinking, don't look at him. He's the problem. You should be spending your time with us. And then he says, hurry down, Zacchaeus. I must stay in your house today. People back off a bit. Suddenly, this wonderful Jesus with eyes that make us feel alive has picked the wrong person. Jesus, how could you do that? Not him. Some people walk away. This can't be the one. Not if he's choosing someone like that. A tax cheat. This grotty little man in his absurd bling scrambles down. And he's different. We've never seen him like this. But we fear and despise him. And Jesus follows him. And his disciples don't look too happy either. They're muttering to themselves, well, we go along just to see. What's going on? Why, Jesus, would you choose this cheat, this collaborator? And they're in the house, and Zacchaeus is getting all his finest things out. And Jesus is unfazed. Zacchaeus has money hidden in places you couldn't guess. He has expensive things, some of which he took in payment. And he has servants who put food in front of Jesus and the disciples. And we notice as we look through, because we're not very private, that some of the disciples are just thinking, well, I don't care where I get food this good, I'm going to enjoy it while it's there. And we would love to eat some of that food, but we can't afford it. And Jesus is talking with Zacchaeus and wasting his look on the man, wasting his loving, healing look. And then Zacchaeus says, Lord, I will give half my belongings to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone, I will pay back four times as much. A ripple goes through the crowd. We draw in our breath. Is he really going to give us back what he's cheated us out of? I could so use that money. And then Jesus says, salvation has come to this house today. For this man also is a descendant of Abraham. Are you a descendant of Abraham? Has Jesus' forgiveness of Zacchaeus brought you in or made you want to shut yourself out? Has he reached a part of you of which you are ashamed? Has he reached a part of you that was feeling hurt and downtrodden and now can feel lifted up? Salvation is when we turn to the Lord and let him save us. Save us from going the wrong way. Save us from being less than the person God has in mind for us to be. We walk away. The crowd is still buzzing around Zacchaeus' house. What does it mean to be a descendant of Abraham? Will Zacchaeus really change and pay that money back to the people he has cheated? It's not ours to judge. We go home and we go into a quiet room and we pray. O Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Just stay with that for a moment. O Lord, free us from resentment and fear. Fill us with the joy and the life of seeing the eyes of Jesus look into our lives. Take from us feelings of self-righteousness or superiority. Give us the eyes of love for all others as you love them, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.